It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here on this sort of interestingly nice morning in mid-December. And it doesn't hurt to be out without a jacket, but you can wear one. It's kind of one of those days I really like. Sure beats Wisconsin this time of year. He said from memory, distant. Anyway, as usual, we're going to be here for the whole hour, and during which time we will intend to talk about everything we want to and anything you want to. And you can do that by just picking up the phone and dialing 904-222-8255. So welcome back to all of the long-timers that have been with us for, we're just about to wrap up year 10. How's that for difficult to believe?
That is unbelievable.
Do you have the show number? Do you still keep a running log?
Yes, I do. It is.
There's been a lot of them.
I think this morning was 511.
Okay, yeah, that's a big number, considering we only do this once a week. So, anyway, if you're new here, you see, hopefully, after listening for an hour, you'll understand why we've been around for 10 years, because people will respond nicely. I mean, after all, I would dare anybody to come up with a topic that affects more people than money and finance.
Everybody. There is no exceptions.
Nope. You can't get an immunity from this one. You can't get a pardon from Biden. You don't need money anymore. We'll pardon you. How's that? I don't think that'll work. So anyway, I digress, as I am wont to do. It's been a very interesting year. And as we have been discussing with people in the office, it's a year that has been feeling really good, but the performance isn't backing it up.
Not this quarter.
Year's fine.
Yeah, the year's been very strong. This quarter has not been the strongest quarter. It hasn't been bad. I don't want to paint that picture, but there are some pockets of weakness in the market that are dragging down balanced diversified portfolios.
Yeah, Santa Claus hasn't gotten news yet, apparently, of the rally that he's supposed to be spurring.
That's right. There's still time for that to happen, but it has not happened yet.
Plenty of time.
Yep, plenty of time. And all right, actually have a caller already.
Before we get into that, good morning, Larry.
Hey, good morning, guys. Enjoy y'all's show every Saturday. You'll learn a lot.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate it.
Yeah. Hold on. Time to drive a little bit here. My question is about CDs, okay?
Okay.
I've got about 200,000 in CDs, and I thought I read where you have to take the taxes in the year you made the profit. Does that make sense?
It's the law.
Yep.
So that is true. I have to basically withdraw the profit and pay the taxes.
Or pay them from some other source.
Yeah, if that's the only money you have access to, then yes, you would have to. If you have money in a savings account, you can pay it out of there. The government doesn't look at a dollar and say that is the dollar that you must pay for this.
Right.
They just look at your total, the amount of money that you have, and they say we need that portion of it.
Okay. The other question, since I'm thinking about the CDs, what do you think the CDs are going as far as rates go? This is money that I just got put up, and I use it for, you know, homeowners insurance, all this kind of differential things.
Yep.
I'm trying to get the biggest bang for my buck, but I want to be safe.
Sure. CDs are a great way to accomplish that, but they're getting less of a great way. And what I've seen recently is that less companies are offering any kind of more than a few months out on CDs. So they exist, but you're not going to get a great deal. And everyone thinks rates are coming down. So companies are not willing to extend those CDs at the higher rates today out very long. So you can probably get in the fours right now on a short-term CD, but getting anything, if you want to lock it up for longer, it's going to be a little bit less or a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, when I first started this a few years ago, of course, they were real low, and then they, of course, jumped up to fives.
Yeah.
So that's when I made quite a bit of money, but I have noticed I have a Schwab account, and so...
You're buying them in your Schwab account?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I've noticed the rates are down in the low fours.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They are, and they're probably, if I had to guess, I would say they're probably headed lower.
Yep, I have to agree.
I'm getting
with
two
that.
Voices here. I'm having trouble hearing.
Is your radio on?
We hear like a radio in the background. It's not
yeah,
our.
That's what I hear too.
Yeah,
okay,
I don't know what that is.
I don't
want
to hold you. I just wanted some advice on maybe. I thought I did read about the taxes, and I wasn't sure.
Yep.
But
yep.
I did do the same thing last year. I paid it last year, but I didn't want to withdraw all that money out of there. And,
yeah. Well, some people just re-up their CDs automatically, and they roll over the interest payment inside the CD, so it's bigger next year. But they have to know that interest is taxable on the day of the rollover. The maturity.
That's what I read.
Yeah. So, if you need a little bit higher rates, you can look around a bit in the short term corporate bond market. I found some really good deals there with very big name companies that are paying slightly above what CDs are paying, and they're pretty safe. So yeah, get a little creative, and you might be able to find a bit more yield out there.
Well, you use that word pretty safe. What
well,
does that mean?
When I say pretty, you can't say that. Like a Home Depot bond, for instance. Home Depot isn't going out of business in the next 8 months, most likely, but that possibility exists, whereas the government has taxing power. So if you buy or a bank CD is guaranteed by the government. So you there's different levels of safety. Nothing is guaranteeing a Home Depot bond, but it's still pretty safe.
Right. Matter of fact, I'm just pulling in the parking lot here.
Oh, okay. That's ironic.
There are.
Anyway, guys, I appreciate it. I try to catch y'all every Saturday, and I've learned.
Thank you.
A whole lot.
Larry, one more thing before you go. Look at the website savingsbonds.gov, because there are some kinds of
savingsbonds.gov.
Yeah, there are some kinds of bonds where it's optional whether you claim the interest and pay taxes on it this year, or if it's a multi-year bond, you can defer it all to the end.
But he's in a CD, so.
Yeah, but if you went from there into a savings bond type,
gotcha.
There might be a replacement product where you wouldn't have to pay that interest until it's suited.
Oh, we'll see.
So just check it out, and if you find something interesting, call us and let us know.
Okay, guys, I appreciate it. I've learned a lot from you guys.
Well, thanks,
thank
Larry.
You a lot. Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye. Merry Christmas to y'all, guys.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to take a little break here in a moment. When we come back, I'm going to hand the trivia question over to Adam today. He's got a good one, and it should be a bit of a brain tester. It's very much pertinent to what's going on right now, though. You know, we always try to relate what's happening around the markets and so on to whatever our question is for the week. And this one, when you hear the answer to it, whether somebody gets it or we have to divulge it toward the end of the show, you'll understand exactly what we mean, because there's a lot of aspects of this investment market that are undergoing a bit of a change right now, and it's kind of interesting. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after we pay a couple bills. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we do, as usual, have a trivia question sponsored by Paul Lloyd at First Coast Alarm. You can call Paul at 904-636-7888. And the question comes from Adam.
Yeah, so if you probably know that there are 500 stocks in the S&P 500. That makes sense. What you may not know is that 393 of those have been around for more than 20 years as a publicly traded company. There are a few, about 37%, that have posted total returns of more than 1,000% in that time. The clear winner is NVIDIA. If you put $1,000 in NVIDIA on November 25th of 2004, you would now have $944,000. That's crazy.
Can I go back?
I wish. I wish. My question, the trivia question today, is what is the second highest returning company, and a huge bonus if you also get the third highest returning company.
Oh, you mean you get the same thing, but we put a certificate in the mail with an attaboy on it?
Yeah, I'll give you a pat on the back.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And those don't come around every day to everybody, you know.
Right. So NVIDIA's first. What is second over the last 20 years?
Okay. Back to the market wrap. It was a mixed week, I'd say.
Yeah, it was a weird week. It was a little bit more volatile than we've seen recently. It had a lot of ups and downs.
Including at least one new record.
Yeah, the NASDAQ closed over the 20,000 mark for the first time ever, only to pull back and end the week under that sort of historic mark. But
it's kind of funny because in the month of December, every single index not only has hit a new high, but it went over one of those giant.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And then all have pulled back, all I guess. Pulled back, so, yeah. Interesting.
Can't stand prosperity around here.
The NASDAQ did manage to finish the week with a small gain of 0.3%. The S&P was down 0.6, and the Dow really struggled for gains this week. I think it was down 9 or 10 trading days in a row.
Yeah.
It was down 1.8%. December has not been a particularly good month for stocks this year. The S&P is just barely hanging on to a gain. The Dow is down over 2%. Both small and mid caps are down more than 2%. The S&P Equal Weight Index is down 2.6% in December. The only index with positive momentum this month is the NASDAQ, which is up more than 3.6%. Large cap dividend stocks have also been hit hard. They've lost more than 4.4% in December. So when you hear me say that there are certain pockets in the market that are really struggling in the fourth quarter, those are some of the areas that are kind of dragging down any kind of diversified portfolio. On a sector basis, there are more sectors of the S&P that are down in December than up. Utilities are down 6.4%, energy is down 6.1%, and five other sectors are down more than 3%.
All of a sudden, our cares and worries about providing enough electrical current for
that's
cars,
old news.
All that news. That was so last week.
Yeah. Consumer staples is down as well. That's only down 1.2%. The biggest winner has been consumer discretionary. That's up 5.5%. And communication services, technology, and semiconductors are the only other positive sectors.
Finally, at least something made sense.
Which one?
Consumer discretionary, to me.
Why do you say that?
Because of the optimism surrounding the election. And everybody thinks the economy is going to get better. The wages are going to go up. Prices are going to go down. Therefore, what are they going to do? They're going to do what they only do in good times, and that's buy discretionary items.
Yeah, but that would also be using utilities to increase production to produce all those things.
Frankly, just overbought.
They did. They were up. They were up more than the S&P 500. They were leading the S&P 500 at one point this year, which is crazy.
They had
crazy.
2 or 3 years growth in a few months, and it was fear-led more than anything. But I'm not selling mine.
Okay.
It's a small percent anyway, but they are nice, steady payers. You got to have them. So when push comes to shove, a dividend will come through.
International stocks, which have been hit pretty hard since the election, there's a lot of, I think it's an overblown trade, but they really did not react well to the election news with Donald Trump's sort of pro-America and policies. And so international stocks have been down, but they've started to bounce back in December. Israel, China, and Italy are up more than 3%. Australia, for some reason, has been going the other way, down more than 4.6% this month.
It's run by an idiot.
That's maybe.
If you read that, we get a chart on Saturday mornings that's very interesting, and it showed the rankings of all the various countries that have any significant stock market. And you could tell by the political wind who was going to win and who was going to lose. You could also tell, in fact, I'm going to get into that in a minute. I've got some things that are going on here and there. But look at the next door neighbors, Brazil and Argentina.
Oh, okay. I was going to say our next door neighbor, the 51st state, Canada, is also down in December.
And Mexico worse because they did the unthinkable also. Who they hired to run the show.
Yeah, it's a good
just
point.
Very predictable stuff overseas.
The all world except U.S. index is up 0.8% this month, but it's off almost 1% since the election. So that kind of tells you we've seen the dip and it's starting to come back. I do think that the reaction to Trump's proposed policies for international markets is a trade that is probably vastly overdone. First of all, he has to get those policies in place, and then a lot of it is just a negotiating tactic. And I'm not really buying that there should be a big sell-off internationally because we elected Trump.
people who rely on static scoring, like our Congressional Budget Office, can only look at the numbers and say, if you make this change, you get a corresponding change in output, because they don't figure in anybody's behavioral changes. Mm-hmm. What Trump is doing is not changing our economics. He's changing their behavior.
Right.
And the sooner people get that through their heads, the more sense their investments are going to make, in my opinion.
Yep, I agree. Commodities have been on a bit of a hot streak lately. They're up about 1% in December. Natural gas is up more than 4%, and it's still down 26% this year.
Hey, I know.
Oil's up 2.2%, while agricultural commodities are up 2.6% during the month. In the bond market, everything except short-term bonds have been losing value. Interest rates still continue to creep up along the curve. The short end, not so much, but the longer end, definitely creeping up. Long treasuries are down 2.7% in December, while short treasuries are up 0.09%. Well, oil prices are up a bit this month. Gas prices remain just above $3 per gallon. They never went above $3 per gallon during Trump's first term, and are in a clear downtrend at the moment. So that may be something to look forward to in the near future. Sub $3 gas prices. I would not complain about that.
I'd complain a lot less at sub $2.
Yeah,
but yeah, you gotta.
It would take some time to
crawl
get there
before you
exactly.
Run.
We also saw the CPI and PPI reports released this week from the BLS. CPI came in on target at 3.8%, but that's still quite a high number. The good news in that report is that rent growth came down a good amount during the month.
Finally.
And that's really what's driving that CPI number, is the growth in rent. It just has been relentless, and it takes forever to turn around because of 12-month leases. PPI was hotter than expected, but it was at a more reasonable little over 2% rate, 2.8, I think, or something, but well below the 3 target. One area that got a huge boost from the election is small business optimism. In the first report released since Trump became president-elect, this report saw the biggest monthly jump since 1980, more than 40 years. Political climate was the biggest reason cited for that jump. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for pro-business people running the show.
Yep, small businesses definitely excited about the new era.
And they should be. And, you know, one more thing on the market. We have not had a 10% correction in 2024.
Okay.
The last time we didn't have a 10% correction, 2021. So Biden comes in and the euphoria hits the market and there's no corrections. Now, fast forward to year 4, and we don't have any because they're euphoric about it being over with. It's just my insight.
Okay.
But we had plenty of them in between those years.
Yeah, we did.
For those of you who don't pay as much attention to things as we do, you go back and look what happened to you in 2022, and I think you're going to be surprised at just how awful that year was. It's been a long time since we've seen anything quite that bad.
It was awful. It was just terrible. You look at the 3-year annualized returns right now, they're dismal, and it's all because of 2022.
Yep. And if you just think about why, well, we did have a 6-month recession. They won't allow you to say that, but they can't quiet me on that because I know what the definition is.
Yeah, we definitely had one.
Yeah, and that you would expect that to impact a stock market. It did. Real simple. All right, a couple little interesting facts. Anything else you want to?
No, that was it. I wrapped it up.
In France, the French people got very, very upset, and they kicked out their prime minister, shortest-serving prime minister ever, who was, of course, a wacko leftist named Michel Barnier.
I don't know.
And the new one is a centrist and good. But the country out there who is just baffling me is South Korea.
Yeah.
They implement martial law in South Korea, and their parliament, or whatever they call it, overrides it.
Well, yeah, because it was a totally unnecessary. Totally it was actually a move against the prime minister's political opponents.
And this week he is facing, his name is Yoon Suk Yeol or something like that. I apologize to the man for my lack of understanding of the language, but he is now facing his second impeachment attempt.
I think it didn't it go. I thought it went through, or maybe it just got announced.
I'm not sure. I haven't read that.
I'm not sure either. Done.
But how could a country like that, a formerly great powerhouse country, go so far south? That's got me absolutely baffled. All right, much more when we come back. Lines will be open. Adam will repeat the trivia question, and we'll take it from there. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
Lines are open, 904-222-8255, and the trivia question is still out there, and Adam has it.
Yeah, it is. Over the last 20 years, there are quite a few stocks that have been continuously listed on the S&P, publicly traded on the S&P 500 index. And the number one returning stock during that time has been NVIDIA. What was second? And bonus points if you can get what was third.
Mm-hmm. And I got some other little interesting trivia on top of that when somebody gets it or when we have to give it out. I want to get back just for a second to crazy countries like South Korea. Adam was telling me about that one. Man, he dug his own grave and didn't know when to stop digging.
Yeah, definitely. Just a terrible move.
Anyway, let's look at a success story. Venezuela.
Oh, wow. This is incredible.
It is really amazing. What's going on. And it's because they elected a guy who he basically worships Reaganism, Trumpism, that kind of thing. And just his neighbor to the north in Brazil is a commie. And Brazil's falling apart. Venezuela's coming back together. And here's what he's been doing.
Wait, Argentina.
Argentina, I'm sorry. Yeah. Not Venezuela.
And it's to the east.
I wrote it wrong on here. That's stupid. Anywho, in Argentina, Milei came in. And he had just announced a major tax reform. He's going to eliminate 90% of existing taxes in the year 2025.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, how about that? Let's see. He intends to negotiate a trade agreement with Trump right after the inauguration here. He just passed his first year. And let's see. Inflation has dropped under Milei from 25.5%. In December of 23, in other words, a year ago, to 2.7% in October.
Incredible.
10 months.
Incredible.
25.5 to 2.7. They have had now their 10th consecutive month of trade surpluses.
Mm-hmm.
On his first day in office, this is starting to sound like something, he cut the number of ministries from 18 to 9. Doge anybody? Got it? Back to the phone. Good morning, Craig.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen, and Merry Christmas.
Same to you and yours.
Yes. I'm going to take a stab at the trivia question.
Good.
Adam, I'm going to say, number one, Amazon. And I'm going to try for number three. How about Broadcom?
So both excellent guesses, but unfortunately, both are incorrect. Amazon is in the top 10, but it's way down at ninth, and they have returned 100. If you had put $1,000 in 20 years ago, it would be worth $101,000. Pretty good return, wow. but not
900.
Nope. So yeah,
that's wow.
Good guess. And Broadcom didn't even make the top 30. Although their stock has done very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've done real well. In fact, I think I read that they just became part of the $1 trillion club.
Yeah, I saw that same article, and I think they were either just about to or did become part of that club. So, yeah, their cool. market cap is impressive, but the return hasn't been as crazy as some of the other companies.
Just getting their sea legs, apparently.
Yep.
Wow. All right, well, thank you, guys. Enjoy the show, and Merry Christmas. Well,
thanks so much, and right back at you. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, we're out here in the clear sky. We've seen Santa Claus making dry runs.
Good.
Practicing.
You sure it wasn't a drone?
No, it wasn't a drone. We saw some reindeer with it. So,
oh, cool.
Unless they've managed to do... a drone with reindeer, I don't know.
Yeah, probably not that important.
I just saw the Homeland Security report on that.
It's a crazy story.
I just, I question why this is happening before 47 is installed and before 46 exits off.
Yeah, so, we all do.
Yeah. Anyhow, you guys, we just got the mail and looked at you guys are doing a great job for us, and I really appreciate it. So,
thank you.
Yeah, we haven't.
He's not
haven't
been paid by us, everybody.
No, I'm not. I'm not on the payroll. No. I'm not on the payroll, but I will drop by your office on Wednesday. I have something for your front desk person.
Great.
I owe her a couple things so from the last time I visited, but everything is good out here. I have no idea on this trivia question. This is a stumper. Who came up with this? Adam, you come up with this one?
He got this one.
This one was mine.
You got this one?
Yep.
Well, I have no idea. Amazon was ruled out just now.
It was, so, yeah.
I don't know. I'm stumped on it. That's a great question.
There's at least one other, I think, pretty obvious guess that is wrong that people haven't guessed yet. So I
know exactly what you mean.
Too. Yeah,
but it's a little too early. You know, we always call it the bracket when it's a numerical thing, and in this one it's sort of bracketing. But there's one obvious company that many of us would have guessed, and it's wrong also.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking too obviously out there and you want to take a shot at it, eliminate that first thought.
You'll be better off. There you go. Well, I'll hang up. Just wanted to say hi, and we'll see you guys on Wednesday.
Thanks, Bob. See you then.
All right. You're welcome. Bye.
Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's happening?
Not much. It's going to be probably the roughest holiday season for me in 29 years, but yeah. I'll persevere.
I understand, and thank you for the note you sent.
Yeah, that was really nice.
Yeah, that was stunning that PBS on who he is in China, and we're going to have to be watch him very carefully, that gentleman.
Very true.
I got a trivia question for you guys. Is that allowed?
Yeah, of course.
Sure.
All right, and this is based on an article about Social Security, and it's about DOGE, that new coming in Department of Government Efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what percentage of older Americans rely solely on Social Security?
Ooh. 49.
That's not a bad guess. A little high, 40%, according to...
Okay, I was going to say 37.
And lastly, if you apply for disability Social Security, how long does it take in a year for them to come up with your determination?
Oh.
How many days?
If they got it done in under 200 days, I would probably fall off my chair.
I was going to say 120.
you're right, Stephen. It's over 200 days. They claim it's 227 days.
To just come up with your benefit amount?
With your determination of your disability.
Wow. Seems so, very efficient.
Yeah. So that E in DOGE, the E, doesn't that stand for efficiency?
I believe it does.
Yeah, they claim that those two gentlemen, Musk and Ramaswamy there, are going to look for cost savings in Social Security, but they might find it pretty hard to get because they've already cut them out of money. And if the House of Representatives funding them out, they want to fund it for $13.8 billion. It would be a catastrophic $400 million reduction from current operating levels. Interesting.
They already did that. They did that under Obama, and they're going to do it again. And you know where they put it? This is what really breaks my heart. They moved that money over to green energy projects. They also pay out billions of dollars in improper payments, and Congress has ordered them to establish some kind of a system that would stop that. It hasn't even been talked about.
That is an area they can make a big improvement in.
Yeah, if they didn't do anything else but stopped all the illegal, improper payments out of Social Security and Medicare and so on, it would almost cut that $1 trillion that they're looking for right now.
Speaking of improper payments, this was on TV last night. This is amazing the way Biden spent taxpayers' money.
Yeah.
I think we've heard about those government mail trucks.
And $63 million or something like that.
Yeah, they used a defense contractor. Mm-hmm. There you go, from Wisconsin.
Oshkosh truck.
And you're right, exactly. And each truck would have came to like $32 million.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And where they were proposed in the contract to do about 600 and some odd, they only completed 93.
Jeez. Mm-hmm.
And how many homes have been hooked up to broadband under Harris's broadband program?
Zero, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm. And how many charging stations have been built under that program?
I think they're up to nine.
Yeah, something like nine. Unbelievable.
You know that, you know what that tells me, Mike? It tells me that what Doge announced this week, they want people to volunteer to work 80 hours a week. They're going to have a lot of those people and keep them very busy. That's what it tells me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And we all know that we all work just to pay our taxes.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to 4 months.
Yep.
The first 4 months of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tax Freedom Day.
In fact, you have to pay them now before you stopped earning them. April 15th comes before Tax Freedom Day.
That's right.
So true.
How's
so
that
true.
For irony, huh?
No doubt.
Love it.
Yeah. I'll take a quick shot.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm going to say Netflix.
You got it. It is Netflix.
The man wins again.
He's on a roll.
Now, do you get the attaboy? That's what we want to know. What's
number
what's
three? Third?
Attaboy. Texas Land.
Yeah, you must have found the list.
You know, I always say the faster the internet gets, the smarter I am.
There's no way I would have guessed Texas Pacific Land to be the third highest return.
Most common guesses were Apple, and another one that's done quite well is that beverage company, Monster.
Monster. Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
All right,
anyhow, Adam.
We can dig up your address, by the way,
yeah.
from our old
reference.
Well, you know what, Adam, it is the season, and I don't know, your daughter Taylor, who's done things with charity in the past, I know she's involved with school and sports and everything. Does she still do charities, get involved?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, then let me turn this over to you guys to a good use for somebody.
Thank you. We'll do it. We're out of time. We'll be right back after one more break. This
you
is
got
the Van
it.
Wee Financial
All right.
Hour.
Take Thanks, care. Bye.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we do have lines open, 904-222-8255. If you want to chat about anything or give out your Christmas wishes or whatever. I did my annual called an exercise in futility. If you go to our website, VanWeeFinancial.com, and hit the blog, the latest one has to do with my annual chore. It's my Christmas wish list that Congress would do for us. Read it and weep, I guess, is about the only way I can put it. Anyway, sometimes what we're up against is of our own making, I guess. And I'm looking at the Senate now and the changes coming to the Senate. The Senate had a chance to shake off its old McConnell era ways and become a little bit more modern, up to date, and socially and fiscally more responsible. And instead, they chose John Thune. So we're stuck with McConnell Lite for another few years anyway. And then we get helped, I use that term very loosely, by an article that I picked up over the last few days. It is unbelievable. It is from Bloomberg, which is a strike against them already, since Bloomberg hates Trump. And it is from an outfit called the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, a nonpartisan fiscal watchdog. I want to show you a couple people that are on it. You tell me how nonpartisan this is. One from the Brookings Institute. They're as wacko as you can get. Leon Panetta, Erskine Bowles, Jane Harmon, Ron Kind, idiot Wisconsin, for those of you who don't know, Franklin Rains, Alan Simpson, and David Stockman. You're not going to get an objective look at anything out of that group. But I just wanted to point out a little bit about the journalism and the presentation here. The headline here from Bloomberg says, Trump tax cuts may have limited impact on growth. May have limited impact
on growth. They may also have a big impact on growth.
The last line, close to the last line, says Wall Street economists say it will have a dramatic impact on growth. Got that? So there's, of course, but in here, but this, but that. They said cutting expenses would be very helpful. Oh, you can only do one of those, apparently. So cutting taxes and cutting expenses are mutually exclusive? I don't think so. This is the what we're up against. This is the political thinking of too many people, including some of ours, that are in a position to do something about it. I just thought I'd bring it up because we're going to be fighting this. And if those of you who are fans of Fox Business, Larry Kudlow's show is on at 4 every day, and I usually tune it in for a little bit. But he will tell you, in his opinion, and he was one of the policymakers for the first Trump presidency, he will tell you that it's very important that they do that right out of the chute so that people understand that the reason we voted the way we did is being implemented. And people like Thune are saying, well, maybe we'll get around to it in November. That better not happen. So if you get a chance to complain to your congressional people, do it.
Even more important, though, there's something that I need President Trump to tackle on maybe day two, but really soon. Coffee prices surged to the highest on record, the highest level on record, $3.44 a pound for Arabica beans, and that is unacceptable. 80% increase this year. Mm-hmm. We need to bring down the price of coffee. Good. Very important. I drink a lot of coffee, and it's really hitting my bottom line.
Yep. In fact, I went to Costco recently as soon as I read that, and I buy my beans there and grind them up every day for morning coffee. And instead of just replacing a bag as it's almost empty, I bought a few because they hadn't raised the price of that yet. So if you want a pretty good deal on bean coffee, there's a good place to get it. It is a commodity. It will fall.
It will.
And part of it's weather related and all that. But you're like anyone who controls a commodity at all, they're opportunists, and they saw a chance to raise the coffee price, and they did it. I don't know how many of you out there remember the old coffee crisis from maybe 25 or 30 years ago. The price of coffee got so low that they didn't want to produce it anymore. So instead of just putting a hold on it for a year or two, they kept producing, and they put them on ships, and they took them out in the ocean and dumped the ships into the ocean.
Wow.
Just to keep the supply down.
As recently as, looks like maybe 2003 or 2002, it was trading at 50 cents a pound.
Oh.
So, yeah, now it's $3.44.
You talk about your inflation, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. How many of you ever got a package from Amazon that you didn't order? It's going around. This is the season. It happens more than just at Christmas, but this is the real season. And Amazon calls it brushing. And what people will do is they will order in your name products to be sent to your house. If you get one and you don't know what it is and it's addressed to you, you are perfectly entitled by law just to keep it. Don't have to call anybody. You don't have to send it back. Make sure that there's no dinging going on your credit cards or your bank accounts or anything like that. But what they'll do is they'll send one, and then maybe in a week or so they'll send another one, and this keeps on going for a while. Amazon refers to it as brushing. Third-party sellers do this. I want everybody to understand your responsibility, and that is you don't have one.
But why were they doing this?
They're trying to get into you giving them information where they can steal it and really do some damage from you.
Huh.
It's a scam to try to get your ID, basically.
Interesting.
But unsolicited merchandise is yours to keep. Now, if you keep getting them, at least some of your information has been compromised. And it's very often a third-party seller that has your name and address and possibly your Amazon account number. So you should treat it as a heads up if you see more than one. One can be a mistake, two can be a pattern, three gets really bad. And then you should start doing something about it. Call Amazon and start there and see what happens. They also, they'll send it to you, then they'll write a fake review to boost their own product that they're selling on Amazon.
Hmm.
So there's a lot of little things going on. So report it to Amazon if it keeps happening. Report it to the Federal Trade Commission online or by phone at 877-382-4357. By the way, all of this information is available. I believe this one, yeah, it's from Clark Howard's website. And if you never go there, you should. Clark's website is very, very consumer-friendly. He'll save you money and a lot of hassle. We love the guy. Always have. And always keep your eyes on your credit card statements. If you don't balance your checking account and all of your credit card statements every month, shame on you.
And by balance your checkbook, that is a term that used to be around 20 years ago. Now it's really just going through your online record of everything that came out and making sure it reconciles with what the checks you wrote, the debit charges you made, and any other transactions that you had. Just make sure there's nothing suspicious in there.
Yeah, and it's so widespread that you can't ever take I don't take a day off of watching those things, but you can't ever take a month off. You really just got to know. I don't know how many of you out there contribute to a Roth 401k, but there may be some.
Yeah, probably more and more of you every day because they're becoming much more common.
And many 401ks, the employer has matching funds. So you put in 6%, they match up to 3% or something like that. There's something that you should know, and that something has to do with the taxes. You may not know that you're accruing a tax liability when your employer matches your Roth contribution. But it is so, and if you want to read about it, you can do that. It shows up on your W-2. That's how you find out. So you're all going to be getting W-2s the next couple of months. And if you are in a 401k where you have made contributions to the Roth side of it, check and see if your W-2 matches up differently than you thought it might, because you might wind up owing some taxes on that. It's just a little fair warning.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it is income to you, so yeah, exactly. I get it. But it shouldn't be a huge number.
Yeah, and then there's the old 1099 thing. We were talking about this in the office recently. An individual who pays any subcontractor, like a lawnmower or something like that, is not responsible to issue a 1099. But if you have a small business, an LLC, sub S, anything like that, and even a sole proprietorship, if you pay any subcontractor $600 or more, it is up to you, your responsibility, to prepare a 1099 form and send one copy to the business itself and one copy to the government, IRS, so that they can match it up. So just know a few of those things. This has not been something that was terribly bothersome for a terribly long time, but it's starting to get scrutiny now.
Yeah, and the 1099s are pretty easy to prepare. They're just a few pieces of data that you need. It's pretty simple. There's plenty of examples online to check out.
Yep, there is not anything real complicated about that kind of thing. It's just really necessary because you don't want to get in a position where you're getting nasty letters from the IRS and fines and interest and all that stuff. Anybody who's ever opened their mailbox and seen the logo for the Internal Revenue Service, IRS, knows the feeling, and it's a sinking feeling, even if it's not bad news.
You still every don't time do I it. Get scared. Every time.
And you know their checks are different than their letters, so you know when it's good news. Anyway, it was fun today. Thanks to everybody who called. We will be right back here, same time, same place next week. Hope